and control it, but it worked out. And the addict that I am and my husband, who is also in recovery, we're both recovering addicts. We like to do everything real quick. You know, we're quick kind of people. So we managed to throw two puppies into the brand new house. So busy is to say the least. And when I get busy, I get overwhelmed. When I get overwhelmed, my character defects start coming out left and right. So I kind of look at spiritual principles as kind of like not acting out on my character defects. They kind of go hand in hand for me, is what I've been taught. Like I started off my day today, I walked downstairs, I you know, worked my butt off to get a brand new entertainment stand, and I walked downstairs, and both puppies as a team were both eating and chewing the side of it, almost the whole corner. So talk about using spiritual principles right off the bat. You know, first I wanted to jump down my husband's throat, like, where were you? Why weren't you watching the dogs? This and that. So recovery has taught me I can start my day at any point over again. I can do a spot check inventory anytime. You know, like I said, I came into the program in 2007. By the grace of God, I have about 3.5 years. When I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in 2007, there were absolutely no principles, let alone spiritual, in my body whatsoever. You know, I grew up in a very loving home. My parents tried to instill morals, values, you know, you don't lie, you don't steal, you know, all the morals that we try to instill in children. And, you know, from a young age, I always did what I wanted to do. That was my MO in life. I learned to manipulate very, very young to get what I wanted. So I don't know how many spiritual principles I had, let alone I didn't give them that label growing up. And as I got older, the morals that I had kind of seemed to like disappear year by year. I was 26 when I got clean, and like I said, I was absolutely spiritually dead. There was nothing left in me. I always had this never list, and as my addiction progressed, my never list was like, I'll never lie, I'll never steal, I'll never go here, I'll never stick a needle in my arm, I'll never become a crackhead. You know what I mean? I'll never, never, never. And as my disease progressed and progressed and progressed, my never list, bam, 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 went down. Basically, I did anything I could do to get high. I destroyed anybody in my path that was in the way. It was all about me, and feeding my disease. But by the grace of God, this program has taught me spiritual principles. Absolutely no doubt about it. It's what I live by. One of them is obviously honesty. I have to be honest, standing up here sharing with you. It's not always easy for me to live by spiritual principles. I'm a junkie. I'm an addict, you know, recovering addict, I can say now, not a junkie. But, you know, I still have this way of thinking that wants to manipulate and twist, and I want to get what I want. You know, it's real easy for me to live by spiritual principles when things are lined up and going the way that I want them to go. But when there's a little kink in the road, it's how I react. Am I using spiritual principles? Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is obviously, you know, three of them that I have to live by every day. And like I said, when I came in, I was definitely not honest. I would lie to everybody, and most of all, I would believe my own lies because I've told them so much. Open-minded. Wasn't a lot of open-mindedness. I'd be open-minded to try a new drug dealer. I'd be open-minded to try a new type of bag. I mean, that was about the open-mindedness that I had. And willingness, willing to do whatever I had to do to feed my addiction, which I did some dirty, dirty, dirty things. Not proud of it, but I do not regret it whatsoever. It made me the woman that I am today that's able to stand up here and share with you honestly. But spiritual principles were not easy for me. Like I said, they're sometimes not easy for me today, but the good news is my higher power, God, gives me another shot at it. Like I said, I can start my day over at any time, and that's really helped me. I heard that saying, and I didn't really get it until I tried it. Had to put some footwork into that one. But the first step, the steps and traditions, obviously, build on each other. I didn't go from step 1 to step 12 in a day. You know, I work them in order. I live them every day. I am on my 12th step, but it doesn't matter mean that 1 through 9, I've just forgot. I incorporate them in my life every day. Honesty, definitely. Step one, I could not work a thorough step one until I got honest. Open-mindedness, I could not work a step two until I got open-minded, and I was incapable of being open-minded without honesty. They all kind of fit in. And willingness, step three, I became willing. I made a commitment to myself for the first time that I felt in my heart and soul. I knew I was an addict. I knew it. I could have told you probably at the age of 15 that I was an addict. Was I willing to accept it? Probably. I didn't think a lot about it. But when I came into the rooms and got with a sponsor and got honest and got open-minded, let somebody direct me, guide me. I was incapable of guiding myself. I guided myself, to jam a needle in my arm. That isn't pretty good guidance, I'd say. Steps 1, 2, and 3 were the beginning. 3 was huge for me, to become willing to take suggestions, to actually do it and make a commitment to start a way of life, start a new way of life just for today. That's really important to add in there, because if NA would have told me I had to make a commitment to stay in recovery for 20 years, never drink, never do a drug, at 26 years old, I would have ran. I was a runner, But they said, just for today, do what we do. Try what we do. Take suggestions. Somebody told me, you need to run around outside naked in the snow if your sponsor says so. I take sponsorship so, so seriously. I came up today with a couple women and also a girl that I sponsor in the program, and we had a lengthy talk about sponsorship. I mean, it was just so important for me to be willing, to take direction, because like I said, I was incapable of, directing myself to anything good, especially, a spiritual life. So step 3, that was it. That was huge for me. That was the commitment. And I didn't know what I know now, but obviously in step 1, I learned some honesty. Step 2, I learned some open-mindedness. 3, I knew that willingness. I felt it. Because I had tried to be in recovery, kind of. You know what I mean? I'd kind of come. I'd kind of listen to you. I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. And it ended me up high every single time. But by the time I worked that third step, I felt it in my heart. I put what I knew in my head, and I felt it in my heart. And by the grace of God, I have not went back to using. I know I can. If I quit doing the footwork and I don't show up, like, for example, Courtney had asked me to speak. My first thought was, no, I don't feel like it. And then when I heard the topic, I was like, oh, hell no. I definitely don't want to talk on spiritual principles. But you know what? I suited up. I showed up. I'm here. And the way I'll feel when I walk out of here, no drug, no chemical is ever going to give to me, because I am giving back what is so freely given to me, that no chemical, no man, no pair of shoes, no purse is ever going to give me that feeling, and I'm willing to work for it. That brings me into the spiritual principle of service, which I hold so dear to my heart. That's what this is about, me standing up here. Like I said, I really don't want to come. I got to be honest with you. I thought it's Saturday, it's an hour away, this and that. I want to be home with these maniac dogs that I've shoved on my plate, but that's what it's about, giving back what was given to me. A lot of people probably didn't want to speak whenever I heard them speak, when they planted that seed of recovery, that hope that there is a new way of life. I'm not going to sit up here and list all my service commitments that I've done, but I've done a lot. I've stayed involved for the past 3.5 years, and I plan to stay involved. I mean, I've let some go because my time was up. It was time to rotate, in a spiritual rotation, basically. Like, I can't hold on to that service commitment because it's making me feel good. Once my motive goes bad with service, it's time to move on for me. But, I'm actively involved in my home group. Like I said, Women in Recovery. It goes into another spiritual principle, unity. I hated women. Absolutely loathed them. You know why? Because I was one. I thought you all thought like me, And I don't want to be a part of you. You wanted something from me, this and that. You gossiped. I mean, I was real judgmental too. Like, I could tell you what you did wrong really quick. But through this program, I have learned you know, what unity is. I actually had to speak on that Women in Recovery conference last year. I spoke on unity among women, which is amazing that I can even share about that. And it's not that I'm just speaking on it. I mean, I live it. The women in my home group and the girls that I sponsor, it's like, again, no chemical is going to give me that feeling. You know, I'm a trustworthy person. I'm a sponsor. You know, they can do a fifth step with me and not worry that, you know, it's going to get out there. That's pretty big, because I throw whoever under the bus real quick, you know, and like that before. And it's, you know, unconditional love. I love them. A lot of them come in like I did, so beat up. The word of love didn't even like click in their brains, let alone, you know, love themselves. That this program also has taught me that, to love myself along the way. Which, like I said in the beginning, I was completely incapable of love, let alone loving someone else. Anything that I ever did for someone, there was always an ulterior motive. Absolutely, what can I get off of you? So now, like, unconditional love and unity, I mean, all the spiritual principles, it seems like to me, like, they all kind of fit together, you know? But I think in the beginning, definitely honesty was the one that I probably struggled with the most. And it's still hard for me. Like Eric was talking about them batteries, I have such a hard time. Look, I'm up here confessing. I have such a hard time. Every week I go to the grocery store, I put the water underneath the bottom of the buggy. Well, the cashier sometimes miss this. And that water's like, you know, it's only like $4. And it takes me everything in my power to be like, oh man, and there's water down here. Same with paper towels. That's a killer for me, them paper towels. But the spiritual principle is honesty. If I walked out and left there and stole that water, I would have to go back in and make an amends now. Absolutely. You know, and promptly admit when I was wrong. Very hard to do. Very, very, very hard to do. Promptly is the key in that. But that honesty, you know, like, I got to be honest in all my affairs. It's easy for me to come into a meeting and share for an hour, blah, 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 you know, and spit out the basic tech stuff. It's what I do after that hour. Am I living those spiritual principles when I leave a meeting? And if I was stealing the water, no, I wouldn't be. I mean, maybe I could rebound if I got honest, you know, and talked to my sponsor about it and made amends to Giant Eagle and this and that, which that's a gift too, you know. You can always start over the next day. But, you know, when I start living dishonest, I'm getting high pretty soon. And it's not that I'm totally 100% truthful in all that I do. I mean, there's sometimes white lies here and there. I'm a human being. But the good news is like I said, I can admit when I'm wrong, which is such a gift, because, like I said, all that came out of my mouth was a lie. The basic text talks about how we live an animalistic way. That's what I was. I was the animal, basically a lying animal, if that makes any sense. But spiritual principles, like I said, they're not always easy, and that's why that I love that I can stand up here in front of the fellowship and be honest with you guys. The traditions, absolutely huge. I was reading it out of it, Works How and Why, this morning. After each tradition, it breaks it up. There's like five spiritual principles in every tradition. Because I thought, okay, I know honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And my sponsor's like, Lauren, you live these. You're just nervous. You're trying to plan. You're trying to plan what you're going to share about. And that's not what God wants. God wants me to come up here and, you know, carry the message. Not my way, his way. But anyway, I kind of tried to, like, freshen up a little bit. And I read, you know, each tradition, each spiritual principle. And it's absolutely amazing. And somebody once told me, you use the steps in your personal recovery, you use the traditions in your marriage. A very good friend of mine once told my husband that. And we've been really trying to do that. Because, like I said, I'm married to a recovering addict. We both have basically the same amount of clean time. And it's a true blessing, an absolute blessing to be married to someone in recovery. Because when I say, wow, man, I would love to get high right now, because there's days. It's not an obsession anymore, thank God. But I get fleeting thoughts, you know, like I'd love to just do something to take me out of myself. And he says, yeah, I understand. Maybe you need to go to a meeting. Now, if I said that to like an earth person, they'd be like, whoa, hide my purse right now, you know? So he totally gets it. But on the same end, it's difficult sometimes. You know, we love taking each other's inventory. I love getting in there and telling him what he needs to do and what character defects he's acting out on months ago. And then we kind of fell short. So recently, through the move and through, like, you know, life showing up, we've gotten tense, character defects come out. So we started doing this inventory together on a weekly basis, like we do it on a Sunday. And we talk about, you know, like, is anything been bothering you? That way, like, we don't get resentments, you know what I mean? But the key to this inventory is that you don't get mad, you know what I mean? And you try to see the other person's point of view and your selflessness. Well, last week, he told me what's been bothering him. Of course, you know, the drug addict I am, I'm thinking in my head, F him. How dare he think that about me? You know what I mean? But I didn't. I shut up. I hit that pause button. I didn't say what I was thinking. I can, like, really quick justify anything. But if I get a little bit of time to think about things and process things, then I can usually see the other person's point of view. Well, that's what happened. That's what happened. And I was able to shut up and not call him what I wanted to call him. And tell him what I wanted to think that he was doing wrong and how this situation could have not even happened. And really, like, it wasn't even that big of a deal. And the good news is, like, this whole week I've been working on that, you know, because that's what marriage is about. It's about, you know, giving a little bit. I'm learning. It's definitely a learning process, to say the least. But I'm learning, and I was able to do that with, like, no strings attached. Not so he'd say, oh, good job. Thank you. It's to, you know, make myself feel good, make him feel good, and, you know, to be productive, to be a good person. But yeah, that inventory is really helping us in trying to live spiritual principles and traditions in our marriage. It is definitely helping me. I mean, it's real easy for me to be able to do it in certain affairs, like in recovery and sponsorship and stuff like that. But I really got to take that home with me and live that every day. I got to take that into my workplace. I manage a business. I have 10 other women that work under me. So I need to set the right example. I need to, you know, like, lying, like cheating on their sheets isn't cool, doesn't fly by me. Now, 5 years ago, oh, absolutely, not a big deal. You know, and like tolerance, huge one, tolerance, spiritual principle. I'm not that tolerant sometimes. I need to be tolerant with them. I need to treat them with love. I need to place up boundaries, which before was totally difficult for me. I either was a doormat or a people pleaser. Where's the boundary? You know what I mean? I'm still learning that balance. But bringing spiritual principles into the workplace, home life, everywhere I go, somebody said, if you want to know if you're really working and living spiritual principles, ask your spouse and see when you're driving on the road. Because all those spiritual principles I am supposed to live by, when someone cuts me off or someone's driving too slow or the cashier's taking too long, sometimes I feel like my head could spin. So spirit, old me, character defect, would beep the horn, flip them off, this and that. New me, that's practicing spiritual principles, patience. Tolerance. Where are you going, Lauren? It's so important. I can be 30 seconds late. You know what I mean? It's another spiritual principle, accountability. Usually I'm not late anymore. I'm accountable. If I say I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And now I give myself enough time to get there, which isn't that crazy how that makes sense. If you leave on time, you know, you usually get there on time. But, you know, it's the things that I'm learning in recovery, slowly but surely. What else did I want to talk about? Spiritual principles are basically in everything that I do. It's the way that I carry myself. It's the way that I act. It's the way that I deal with obstacles, like I said early. I've learned in recovery from my sponsor, who is a wonderful, wonderful woman. Again, a woman that I trust, a woman that has been accountable, a woman that handles every matter with grace. That's huge for me, absolutely huge. How do I react when things do not go my way? Because before I would have reacted just to the point where I had to make amends. Now I'm learning that if I actually shut my mouth, because before I was incapable of doing that, you know what I mean? Incapable of doing that. I would pour everything out And then 2 minutes later, feel horrible, shame and guilt. Then I'd have to make amends. But then I really wasn't making amends for the right reason. I was making them to make me feel better. And now that I've learned this technique to be quiet and kind of hit the pause button, it's absolutely amazing. Now, I fall short, absolutely. But I've been given that gift where I can promptly admit it when I'm wrong. My 10th step helps me really, really, really a lot. It's a wonderful tool. I wish the whole world had it. We're blessed in recovery to have a 10th step. That shows me where I'm at. That shows me what my day was like. That shows me what spiritual principle I need to work on or which ones did I do pretty well today. Because I'm real easy. I'm real good at picking out like what I did wrong. Recovery is teaching me, too, that I need to pick out what I do right. But my 10th step helps me, reflect on my day and think, okay, yeah, I was honest today. I was loving. I was kind. I was non-judgmental. That's a huge, huge character defect for me. Control. Huge, huge. I want to control everything. So it gives me that, way to actually concretely look at it. And then the good news is the next day I can say, you know what, yesterday I was very intolerant. Today I'm really going to try on that. God, please remove that character defect from me and help me to live, with spiritual principles. I feel a lot better too. I mean, I can feel it in my heart. I can feel like my spirit's cleansed when I'm doing the right thing. Like I said, with honesty, sometimes I lie, like about stupid shit that you just like shouldn't lie about. I was in the line the other day and this woman, was buying a phone, like a landline home phone. It was a VTech phone. And she looked at me and goes, wonder if this is a good phone. Now I've had a VTech, okay? And I have not, but I didn't have that model. And I almost said, well, I had that, and it sucks. You know what I mean? But that would have been dishonest. I didn't have that one. I had VTech. Like, I caught myself, but, like, the lies that, like, I want to tell, they just, like, you know, they don't make a lot of sense, you know? And then I'm all balled up. My spirit's all balled up because I didn't do the right thing, you know? I have this awareness now, from God that I know what's right and wrong. Like, if I'm dishonest or I'm not open-minded or I'm not willing, I don't feel right. And I think that that's my higher power kicking in there. Like my stomach feels like, you know what I mean? I'm balled up. I'm jammed up when, I want to lie or when I'm not willing or, you know, not open-minded or, you know, not trying to be a part of my we. That's big with sponsorship. Like sometimes I don't want to answer my phone. I'm a human being. Sometimes they're calling at 9 o'clock at night. I just worked 9 hours, got home, did the dinner thing. Now I'm doing the dog thing. And then I'm trying to get my recovery too, going to a meeting, talking to my sponsor. And at 9:30 at night, sometimes I don't want to answer the phone. Now, spiritual me would answer the phone and say, hey, is everything okay? And can I call you tomorrow? You know, and be accountable. Or non-spiritual me would say, well, F that. They had all day to call me. Don't they know I'm busy? Me. You know, it's me, 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 me. So sponsorship definitely has taught me that I still have to be willing. I still have to show up and do what I have to do, just like people did for me when I was incapable of that, of loving myself. The unity that I saw when I walked into the rooms of NA, it was attraction, not promotion, attraction. I was attracted to people being happy, to smiling, to laughing, to going out to eat. I mean, for me to even eat was amazing. You know, I was 90 pounds. You want to talk about cracked out. I didn't even eat. I lost the sense of eating. I was an animal. So to see people, you know, happy and eating and fellowshipping and, you know, actually sharing where they're at, that was big for me to hear about good times because I knew I thought when everybody got clean, it was good. But I like to hear about the bad times too. That there was actually a way that I could get through bad times in recovery. The attraction that I felt when I walked in here, it was amazing. If it wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have came back. And again, it was that unity. I wouldn't, I wouldn't keep coming if I didn't feel a sense of belonging. I mean, and that's huge for me that I'm in here, that I'm equal, that we are all equal here is huge. Because my whole life, I grew up thinking I was either less than or better than. I was never equal to anybody, and usually it was less than. I had no self-esteem. I was beat down. beat down. So when I came in here and felt a part of, and that nobody was going to tell me what to do, you know what I mean? There were no rulers here. There were no dictators. There were no presidents. I found that amazing. And that's a huge spiritual principle that we have to live by when we follow the traditions of NA. If you want to see if you are living out some spiritual principles, go to a group conscience at your home group, because you got all these different opinions going at one time. Now, are we following, you know, us as individuals in a home group, the traditions, or are we starting to act out on character defects and self-will in the situation? That was definitely huge for me, and is definitely still a learning tool. So, like I said, to kind of wrap it up, spiritual principles, you know, it's a lifelong learning process. Will I ever totally live by spiritual principles? Probably not. I'm not perfect. I'm not my higher power, you know? But the gift is that every day I can work on them, and I'm okay. For the first time in my life, I'm okay. I love myself. I feel good where I'm at, and, you know, I'm able to give back, the most important thing. I'm able to be here. Like I said, I didn't want to be. Now I'm really glad I am. So, you know, recovery is basically going against feelings a lot for me. And, but thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Courtney, for asking me to share. I appreciate it. And have a great day.